Warning, this is the Freedom Fiends midweek non-radio podcast. Unlike our weekend live talk radio shows, where we adhere to all regulations and community standards, this cast may contain cussing and or prurient subject matter. If you are easily offended, please leave now. But tune in Saturdays and Sundays to our live talk radio show. If you're not easily offended, prepare to be entertained, informed, and enlightened.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. We're working very hard to spend your tax money to keep you from hearing things like freedomfiends.com.
Yeah, F it.
We're rolling. F it. Nima. Yeah, Nima V.
I'm going to still try not to cuss. I'm going to still say
yeah,
F
me
it.
Too.
And
F cussing.
Like that.
F cussing. Cussing is for weak A mofos.
F cussing in the A. You just got F'd in the A.
Hey, hey, yo, hey,
no?
Yo,
okay.
Yeah, no, it's okay, it's okay. God, I sound good. Did you see the new Freedom Fiends logo I gave GCN? I don't think they put it up yet, but, they did.
A new logo, like a new image instead of
new image of us. It looks hella photoshopped, but at least I look good. You look the same. I just sent it to you. You look exactly the same. I looked like an old lady in the other one, and I look pretty damn good in this one. You know what it was? On the Fiends diet, I lost so much weight that I got skinny, and when you get skinny, you look old. And before, I looked fat in the other picture they had before that, and now I look just right, man. I think I look just right.
There you go.
How do you like it?
I like it, man.
It kind of looks good. Like I'm on TV and you're standing in front of the TV, but it's okay.
Yeah, like what the is this dude talking about?
You should be pointing back at me with your thumb.
And I like how you can see the purple background through my hair because it looks like I've got a purple glow around my hair. And purple is my favorite color.
Are you looking at the same image I'm looking at?
Yeah, it's me. It's you with your orange condomed RE20 looking to the...
I don't see the purple. You see purple around you, the glow around your hair?
Yep, I see the purple glow around my hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at it big, though. It's going to be smaller than that on the GCN page, but...
Oh, look at it on the GCN page. I just pigeoned it to you.
Oh, okay.
How it really looks.
Yeah. So people can listen to me looking at something.
This is the Freedom Fiends. This is when we're non-radio. I've been working hard, man. We're on...
pigeon it to me again, man. I closed your pigeon.
Why?
I ruined the encrypted communication because I pressed the X button.
Okay.
That happens.
Do people really want to hear this? Should we start over? I don't know. Nah, F it.
It's up to you.
F it.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm sending you this. Yeah, we're on 8 stations now starting this weekend. We're on 2 more, and we'll be announcing them soon.
All right.
It'll be wonderful and groovy, and the Fiends are taking over the world, as it should be.
Yeah. You know, I was listening to, two of our morning, they're not shock jocks. They're actually pretty well established, but they're on the classic rock station to give you a sense of who they are here in Austin on KLBJ. And one of them just goes, you know, what good radio is it sounds like two dudes are having a beer together and just shooting the shit. And
you
get to listen to it. Yeah. And that's
except,
totally us, man.
Except we're two dudes who can't drink beer anymore discussing our feelings.
Yes, we have to discuss it soberly.
Yes.
But, you know, we're just so goofy anyway. I don't know if the beer would matter that much, man.
Well, you know, they always say, like, the sign of someone who sounds cool in media is you want to have a beer with them. Like, people want to have a beer with Bush and wine with Obama. But, you know, since we don't drink, I guess our fans could imagine that they're sitting in front of us and getting drunk and dancing around comically for our amusement while we go, dun, 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 dun.
I in no way, shape, or form would ever want to have a beer with Barack Obama. He would be like telling like, because people tell stories about like their jobs when they're drunk. He'd be like, yeah, I totally saw that little kid bleed out onto the ground. It was cool. Dude.
I saw something today on CNN. They have this new like right wing minute or something, a right wing 10 minute program or something on CNN. I was vomiting while eating dinner watching it, but there's some funny
like
things on it.
Like you continued to eat, so it was like the vomitorium?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't eat the same stuff over and over and over, but, you know.
Right.
There's just more. It's just, it's America. I just have more food than I could possibly eat well. So
pussy and explosions, America.
They had a thing on there about the Tea Party being revitalized by the IRS scandal. And it's like, you know what it is, though? It's Streisand effect, man. The government said we're gonna destroy them by giving them extra audits. See, you know, like the Bush type people who still work for Obama now. They're like, hey,
yeah,
we're gonna, yeah. But they ended up like It's really a coup for the Tea Party. It really is.
I don't know, man. I kind of feel like the Tea Party is so passé. Like, do people even give them any credibility anymore? I mean, the right-wing pundits used to talk about them favorably, but I don't even think they get that kind of lip service anymore, do
well,
they?
Well, it's just watered down Ron Paulism. I mean, he started it, or his people started it, and then it got co-opted by Michelle Bachmann.
I wish it was nothing but watered down Ron Paulism, because it's not even the same kind, because they go off so far in that Bachman direction of kill everybody who's not like us all the time.
Well,
and the police state, and having a police state about their issues and not realizing that a police state's a police state,
they're
no
getting,
matter who they're attacking.
They're getting feistier and have a sense of humor now, which neither they never did before. I saw a protester at a huge Tea Party event on the news today. The protester had a sign that said, waterboard the IRS. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you know, I could probably get on board with something like that.
But
I'm anti-torture, but in that case, that would be just, you know, paying your dues.
I like it as a cartoon image. there was some other interesting news on this right-wing minute of hate, or whatever it was. Obama spoke at the in Berlin at the Ich bin ein Berliner arch this weekend. And he spoke there, I think, when he was running for office, or maybe early on in his first period, his first term, his first period. And the first time he was there, it was a giant crowd. It was like it rivaled like the original JFK crowd, and they loved him. And now Germany is really upset, and a lot of protesting there against the TSA or the NSA, because it turns out the NSA was spying on Germany more than any other country in Europe and more than any other country other than America. And Germans really, there's a big backlash against Obama there now. So this event, the first event, he was like open on the stage without bulletproof glass. This event was invite only, much smaller. And he was in a big box of bulletproof glass. You know, he looked like a magician about to do a trick or something. So isn't that weird when people have to go, you know, tell what they're going to do to you and protect themselves from violence while they're doing it. That's admitting they know what they're doing is not what people want or need, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, it's another sign to show that he's actually scared now. I guess they always are. You know, the state is always more afraid of people that it's subjugating than anything else, than any of the pretend boogeymen they pretend that you should be scared about. You know, that's one example. There's the example of him giving the commencement speech where he basically said, don't listen to people that say the government's all bad because the government is great and we are the government. You know, basically that old canard.
Well, there's a prediction in Boston's Gun Bible that's worth getting on recent record because it's from like 15 years ago or 8 years ago, whatever, where he said that when the politicians finally repeal the Second Amendment, they're going to do it over telescreen. Like they're not going to go to Congress to do it. They'll be too afraid to go to Congress to do it, and they will do it over the internet, over TV sets.
Like an emergency broadcast system.
Well, you
like
know,
you hear the tone, your guns are now belong to us.
Well, you know, we've talked about like, when are they going to get rid of right wing radio? And you say, well, it serves and libertarian radio. And you said it serves them to do it. But I can think of a way it serves them that we haven't really considered is the U.S. government is really into there being a radio system for a lot of reasons. One is, even if the internet could go down a lot easier than a lot of radio stations could. And they have it's called the Emergency Alert System now. The EAS has replaced the EBS, and it goes to radio, and it also goes to cell phones, and it's reverse 911 calls, et cetera. It's basically the telescreen. But they kind of like having radio out there, even if it's right wing, because it means when they have something they want to tell everybody and they take it over, there'll be people tuned in, you know?
Right.
They'll do it during Rush's show, probably.
Right, right. And then when you don't accidentally hear about the checkpoint because you weren't listening to the radio, they'll just shoot you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you hear about cops just went to town? They just shot a family. I don't know if it's a family or if it was just a husband and wife, but basically cops just unloaded their weapons without any regard to the fact that there were cars behind this car they were shooting at. Just all of them at once unloaded their clip. Just slaughtered these people.
Where?
Man.
Why?
Oh, man, I should look it up, huh? I should research things before I talk about them.
I know. Like, yeah. we're not
just like
Hannity.
You should read the story, not just the headlines.
Hannity has a whole staff of minions. We're like, something happened somewhere. It was really horrible. Did you hear about it? Yeah, man, that sucks. That's the fiends, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, it's so tough because when you go to, you hear about these cop stories on like other shows, other podcasts.
Well,
because
we have day jobs too,
because
you know?
there's so many horrible stories out there of cops killing people.
When you search cop shoot civilians, you know, it's Google's going to say, which of these 4 million stories do you want?
Yeah,
from
exactly.
the past 20 years. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Well, I'll find it eventually, you know, so maybe after the break, and we'll talk about it then.
There's another thing. Eric Holder finally promised a criminal investigation of the IRS people who were supposedly responsible and acting alone for going after Tea Party groups. Boy, that makes those people a lot more secure, huh? Eric Holder is going to look into it, but he hasn't. Yeah, they've appointed a committee. But nobody on the committee has contacted any of the alleged victims, you know, the people who brought the thing to light. So basically it's like, yeah, a crime occurred, but we're not going to interview anybody. Well, we'll make a thorough investigation of it. That's the Justice Department, man.
Yeah. You know, I put it in these terms to somebody the other day that the modern, quote, justice system, the state gets to be the referee and the opponent. You know, in all those transactions, that's really what it is. It's like if the LA Lakers had the referees wearing the gold and purple uniforms as well, not just the white and black stripes. All right, here it is. So KLTV, eyewitnesses describe... Oh, go ahead.
I like how the band Millions of Dead Cops, MDC, the punk rock band from Austin from back in the day, who later moved to San Francisco, they had a line in a song about cops killing people and then, you know... I mean, this is like in the 80s, and the line is basically, you send the rats to guard the cheese. That's their comment on, self-investigation by people like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. Here it is. KLTV, they look like they're a local news affiliate. Doesn't say whether it's ABC, CBS, Fox, or NBC, but I'll go ahead and read the first few graphs. Brunswick County, North Carolina. Jared and Rose Clurden found themselves right in the middle of a shootout at what should have been a routine DWI checkpoint. Pause. Why should those be routine? Okay, I'll go on. Days after the dramatic shootout in Brunswick County, they are still shaken by what they saw. Quote, every cop turned around and started unloading like super trigger happy as if their training was coming into full effect and they were being able to utilize it, said Clurden. Everybody was just blasting this car to pieces. It was absolutely terrifying. Now, that's the country we live in these days, to where you can be sitting in line waiting to be checked for no reason, searched without warrant, and then all of a sudden, everybody that's official there just pulls out their guns and unloads them.
I still don't understand what triggered it. No pun intended.
Let's see. Well, yeah, no pun intended. We'll go ahead and continue that. Okay. They were stunned with what was happening as officers reportedly shot dozens of rounds in the direction of oncoming traffic. Quote, cops are shooting from the front of the car back into the rest of the oncoming traffic at the checkpoint, into the rest of the innocent civilians down the road. Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. All right. So it doesn't say what the justification was. I'm sure maybe there's been this has been updated. It's updated as today, but it doesn't look like there's been an official statement or reasoning. But here at the end, it says 7 officers, 4 from Brunswick and 3 from New Hanover, are on administrative duty. The SBI is investigating the incident. Administrative duty. So that's not even administrative leave. So does that mean that they're
filing
not
reports.
On the streets?
They're filing reports about what they did.
Yeah.
They're losing
their circling
reports.
The wagons and figuring out what their story is going to be, basically.
Yeah, it means they're riding a desk for a week. It means they're getting paid to show up and take up space and be a chairborne ranger, as cops call them.
Ugh. Yeah, and it actually looks like this is a repeat. That station call letters I said at the first doesn't look like they're the original originators of the story. It's actually WECT.
So let's skip away from that unless you got more politics to yammer about for the moment. Do you?
No, I just want people to imagine that, you know, take that in, marinate on that, man.
I guess I was just saying, like, we don't have any more news, but on this, and it is it is horrible. I went from joking about, then the cops shoot you, to you brought up someone actually being shot by cops, and my smile just went away, man. I'm not happy about that.
Yeah.
It's I can't even say that square. That is just so effed up that I can't even fathom it. The country we live in, you know.
Yeah, sorry, didn't mean to depress you, Michael. listeners?
I was happy until Nima brought up reality.
I'd rather know reality, and even if it's a horrible reality, than be off in La La Land, because I'm more scared not knowing what's going on. I feel fear when I don't know what the reality is.
Yeah, but there's a big need in my life for balance. And, you know, I've been talking to a lot of people who, like, carry Alex Jones or won't carry Alex Jones. And they're like, oh, you're on that network. Is that like Alex Jones? And I'm like, well, we talk about a lot of the same things, but people feel happy generally when they're done with one of our episodes instead of, you know, I like Alex Jones. I'm really glad he exists. I think he's an important part of the eco community of the
libertarian, the lib pair ecosystem.
Yes. That's the word I'm looking for.
Okay.
But I listen to a show of his and then I want to hide under my covers and take a nap. I really do. And wake up and hope it'll be
really
different.
He's really good
when I wake
up at scratching the crazy cat spot.
Oh no, he implants electrodes in your crazy cat spot if you listen long enough.
Yeah, there you go. So do you have a unicorn chaser for that or what?
Well, I was going to make a picture for Bradley Dean and send it to him to use on all of his articles about everything. You know who he is. He's that guy on but the guy that
people can Google it if they
want. I kind of wish why should I change my name? I had it first. I'll just leave it at that. Yeah. But I was making a Photoshop collage of like a bunch of valiant angels with swords curb stomping Obama, and I was going to send it to him to use on all his articles because it would pretty much sum up every article he writes. But I decided against it because, you know, the angels have swords and it would probably be, it would get us both drones. So, you know, I didn't do it. It was fun.
Well, we've got some good news. You had an article posted on Talkers Magazine, which is the trade publication of the talk radio industry.
Yep, and it came up really quick. I kind of been thinking about this as part of a larger article for a while. You know, I like to write articles about what's wrong with the radio industry since I'm such a veteran of it. But actually, I think I have a unique view on it, is that I know a lot about media and I'm a fan and I'm coming into it new. And I just picked one thing that really bugs me and wrote an article about it last night. DJ was busy with something, couldn't proof it. I had to proof it. I think I got all the typos in it and I sent it off last night and it got printed this morning. I was really happy about it. So that's been a goal of mine to, you know, we've been mentioned in there as there's a show called The Fiends, and we've had a couple affiliate edition mentions in their affiliate edition roundup. Yeehaw! But this is my first article in there. So the next goal, I guess, is to have an article about us in there written by talkers. So that's a goal.
By somebody else.
Yeah. But
be on one of their fancy lists.
the top 100 people that are screwing it up for the real Americans of radio. That's not a list yet.
Yeah.
But
most likely to be droned.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
But we're going to have you read this. It's only like 500 words. It's really short. But I do have an announcement before we do this. Is we're going to make a change with how we put up our podcast on the weekends. Since there's a few stations taking us delayed, which means they don't play it live. They play it a couple hours or 3 or 4 hours later because it fits their schedule. We are going to not put out our podcasts of the live radio shows on Saturday or Sunday until probably around midnight each night. So, but we're going to put them out on torrents as soon as they're out. So if you want to be the person who gets it as soon as it's up, you got to get on the Fiend torrent tip, and you go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link over the top, and it'll show you how to download and seed them automatically.
Excellent. News you can use if you're a fiend or should be. You all should be fiends. And without further ado, Mr. Michael W. Dean's words, the radio whoosh is dead. Or at least it should be. Yeah.
That's the sound I'm talking about. Yeah, there's a lot of variations of it. Sometimes it has a ray gun sound with it. Sometimes it has an explosion at the end. Sometimes it's a flange. But you all know what I mean.
Now, yeah, I know what you mean. Now, whooshes, it's not just radio that whooshes have become very overused. It's TV and also electronic dance music, the whole genre, all forms of EDM. It's really popular right now for the buildup. So you have, you know, the most common now is a clap on every eighth note as there's a whoosh note for four bars and there's a melody barely playing in the background. And then, bam, bass kicks on every note there or every fourth note.
Yeah,
that's the common buildup now. So Michael W. Dean says, I'm pretty new to doing radio. Well, new to being syndicated. But I've been doing episodic spoken media almost daily since 2006. Was a college radio DJ in the early 80s and was into ham radio as a kid in the 70s. More importantly, I'm not new to listening to radio. As a listener, I'd be willing to bet I could do better than 80% correct at predicting today who's going to be out of business in 5 years. Anyone want to take me up on it? I've been listening to radio daily and carefully for decades, music as well as talk. There are lots of cliches. Most folks who describe themselves as, quote, cutting edge aren't. People who say they, quote, think outside of the box often do. The box from 18 or 20 years ago. Actually, you wrote 15 or 20 years, but you get the point.
Yeah.
All right. Many people thought TV would be the death of radio, but it wasn't. Then people thought the internet would replace radio, but it hasn't. Terrestrial radio, particularly talk radio, is bigger than ever. But a lot of people who produce radio use an inordinate amount of audio production cliches. Producers, including show hosts, who are more and more our own producers, use audio production cliches because they're easy. Producers use audio production cliches because they sound, quote, radio. What your audience subconsciously hears when you use these cliches is, quote, this isn't anywhere near being outside of the box, and it's really annoying. The most obvious and prevalent radio cliche is the whoosh, you know, that fast sweeping white noise sound, sometimes ending in a reverbed explosion. Folks use it as shorthand to imply excitement, even where there is none. It's also used as an
interstitial
word. Interstitial. What does that mean, Michael?
Interstitial.
Define,
please. It could be visual or audio. It's something that is put between something else. Like, for instance, in a movie, a card that comes up that says, Summer, Los Angeles, 1968. You know, separating segments.
Implies a beat change.
Yeah.
All right. To delineate the end of a program material and the start of the ad block, or
an ad. Now that we've defined that, why don't you start that sentence over again? Sure. That was a long parenthetical.
Yeah. It's also used as an interstitial to delineate the end of a program material and the start of the ad block, or at the beginning of an ad, the end of an ad, or during an ad, or fortunately, often all of the above. Smart producers should ditch this sound for two reasons. First, because it hurts the ears of many people over 40. How many of your listeners are over 40? Most? All? Even if it's some, you don't want to hurt their ears. Oh, boo-hoo, Michael. You and your tinnitus.
Hey, I've heard that from other people, too, that don't have tinnitus. It's not a sound that's it's basically only pleasant if you're young and on drugs, which is where it came from, and we'll learn about that coming up here.
I find it pleasant. I'm young, but I'm no longer on drugs.
Yeah, but your brain is still on drugs. It takes a year, man.
I don't find it pleasant in you're right that I don't find it pleasant in ads or TV production material or, you know, on talk radio. I don't. I think it's cheesy.
Well, it's incredibly overused in music, but white noise can be used really creatively in music. Yeah. Nine Inch Nails does a great job with it. They take, you know, various like sounds and make them into percussion and kind of mute them and do really cool things with them. But I digress.
Well, it's also really big right now in having at least one channel of your, you know, multi-channel synthesizer as white noise to make it sound dirtier, grimier, noisier. So I'll continue on with Michael's thing. The second reason smart producers should ditch using the whoosh is that it's old. It's so damn old. It was a huge staple of stoner AOR FM radio in the 70s, and it's still heard every day, more like every 3 minutes in AM talk radio. It's about as cutting edge as a telegraph. If you want to be perceived as, quote, new and, quote, hip, the whoosh ain't gonna do it. The whoosh is as stale as using the sound effect of a radio dial being tuned. especially when many digital tuners don't even have knobs anymore. The Whoosh is so unhip, you'd be hipper airing Fibber McGee and Molly. At least Fibber McGee and Molly have content. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. That's what talk radio is, and there will always be a market for people who do it well, regardless of the delivery medium. Do it well, and don't use cheesy production cliches to mask a lack of interesting content. Concentrate instead on interesting content, and chances are you'll still have a job in 5 years.
Hear, hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now you want to talk about the history of the Whoosh, apparently.
I already did.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
I first heard it.
What's AOR FM radio? I don't even know what AOR is.
Album-oriented rock.
Huh.
It was like kind of the first big commercial rock music format. It came out of what was called progressive radio, which wasn't politically progressive. Progressive radio was kind of like college radio on broadcast on big broadcast stations. Like basically, you know, the DJ would lock himself in the control room with a bag of weed and some acid and do whatever the F he wanted. Like literally, you know, if he wanted to play the same song 5 times in a row, he would. And he'd be like, yeah, I like this song, I'm gonna play it again. Or if he wanted to play, you know,
I do what I want, whatever, in
a Gata DeVita with the 27 minute drum solo, he would. Like stuff that
jazz on jazz.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Okay. Could do jazz on jazz. Like stuff you could never get away with on commercial radio now. That was
stuff that we say for the Wednesday show.
Right, that was progressive rock. That was progressive radio in the late 60s, early 70s. And that morphed into, you know, when the bean counters got a hold of it and said, okay, the kids kind of like this, but we got to make it more streamlined and clean it up. It turned into AOR, album-oriented rock, which was a style of radio, but it was also a style of music. And it was kind of came out of Led Zeppelin, because Led Zeppelin refused to let their record company make 3-minute radio edits of their songs. And they were the first band that had the power to be able to do that. And they wouldn't write 3-minute songs. They wrote, I mean, their biggest hit, Stairway to Heaven, is like almost 8 minutes long. And
so AOR FM radio would play the whole album cuts rather than a radio edit.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Would they play whole albums so you get that experience?
No, probably not. They might play a whole side of an album, but it would be like announced ahead of time, like Friday night stoner week, you know, Friday night stoner block, where we play 4 Pink Floyd albums with minimal commercial interruption, you know,
like a marathon.
Yeah.
Side of an album. Man, you're old. what is Fibber McGee? I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is. I barely know what that is. That's an old-timey radio show from the 30s, and it's still really popular. There's actually a station we're on that plays that kind of stuff like on the weekends a few hours after us, and I think it's cool. And that made me think of that, but it's like, it's not for the young people. It's not meant to be hip, although it might be hip in a retro way, but it's like, gee, Fibber, do you think you should run around the back of that tree? I don't know. Officer McConnell's coming up the street. Gee, Fibber, what are we going to do? You know, it was radio plays that were like what they did with radio besides music and news before they really figured out what to do with radio. It was pretty cool, though.
So here's my devil's advocate argument, and I don't know where I stand on this either, but there are sounds that get used over and over. There are sounds that do that because they work. Like in hip-hop, I don't think we'll ever see an end to people using the 808 boom, you know, the boom. I don't think that'll ever happen. And that's been used since the 808 machine first came out in whatever it was in the 80s.
What do you think about using gunshots and sirens? Do you think that's a cliche, or is it worth doing because it describes the environment the music comes from? That's a cliche, though.
It is a cliche, and people still do it. And, you know, I guess to me, you can use those old things and make them new in some sense. Like, it's not edgy to use them, you know, just as a sample randomly without it being part of the soundscape that's actually interesting or tied to the lyrics in some way. But if you use it cinematically, I mean, like with all things, it's not about what it is, it's how you use it. Like with guns or anything, man.
Black Sabbath did it first.
Guns and sirens? Are they going to play it for us? It's like an air raid siren.
Yeah, it's war pigs, man. It totally works.
Yeah. Yeah, it does work. Yeah. Yeah.
See, this is what album-oriented rock would do. Or no, progressive right. radio would do this.
They'd play the whole song. Yeah.
They'd be having a discussion and interrupt it by playing a Black Sabbath song. And this song is as true now as it ever was. It's how the people that start the wars don't go fight them, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What comes to my mind is somebody who has used it now, and it's not cliche, is Kendrick Lamar in his album. He's got a song near the end of the album, might be one of the last songs, if not the last song, where it's different characters other than him, like different characters in the story, because the album is supposed to be a short film. That's the title of it, is Good Kid, Mad City, a short film by Kendrick Lamar. And at the end, it's him rapping, but he's supposed to be other people. And one of the people is talking about how he'll never die, you know, he's going to be in the streets forever. And then you hear pop, 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 and the verse ends before it's supposed to. And then it's just, you know, a couple bars of instrumental before the chorus comes in again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So stuff like that, you know. I think there's techniques and stuff that are tried and true. You know, when you make music, you don't want to reinvent the wheel. When you do talk radio, you don't want to reinvent the wheel.
I know.
Just be self-conscious about it. Don't throw a sound in there just because everybody else is throwing a sound in
and
there.
And I thought about that while I was doing that. There are things that work, and there's people do them for a reason, but... And I wanted to keep that thing really short so people would read it. And I also wanted to keep it really short with some, hey, you know, basically that magazine is read by the people I call every day and they go, who are you? I never heard of you. And I kind of wrote it in a way that might make them go, oh, that's the guy that says he thinks I might be out of a job in 5 years. You know, I'd kind
of. Your dream would be somebody that you call, a station director, saying,
yes.
Oh, so you don't. We play Whooshes. Are you sure you want to be on our station, Michael?
Or of the. You know, a lot of times I don't get the people on the phone. I leave a message. Like today, I went through the whole list that your wife was going to do and never did. And I actually did it in one morning. Nothing against her. That was the list I did today.
She's pregnant.
Yeah. Well, she wasn't when she started. That's how long it's...
She cries at commercials. She actually, was, we just didn't know it yet.
Well, she should have been
calling. We found out like the week when we got
She could have been calling people up and saying, you should put my husband on the radio. Maybe I would work.
We're going to have his baby.
No, but I called
her. She was
so
happy when I DJ'd the... We called it the Tard Dance, but the charity dance I DJ'd, somebody asked her, what's your connection with the DJ? Because like, she was coming up and getting kisses, and she goes, well, I'm carrying his baby.
Ah!
And she felt so proud of that.
That's funny.
I got my wife pregnant.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You're very, very few men are able to do that. And but where was I? Yeah, I wanted to put some like, yeah. Hi, you don't know me. You know, it's kind of, that article was kind of my, like, walking into the room of radio and breaking a chair over everyone's head.
Yeah, yeah. And I kind of got that from it, and I think that that's cool. I think it's cool to step on the scene and be like, hey, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Not, what should I do to be like you?
Yeah.
You know?
But
it
also...
shows you're independent and think for yourself.
But the thing that I pointed out really is something that needs to go in radio. And there are things that... are kind of a cliche for a reason. I mean, for instance, music that's in 4/4 or 2/4, it's like, that's the beat of your heart. That's the beat of a person walking. It's the beat of life.
Yeah.
You know, people don't do stuff in 17/8 unless they want to prove something because it's not really that fun to listen to. It doesn't jive with human life. But
you don't bounce to it. Yeah, exactly.
But basically, you think about
and then
it.
There's that extra beat, and you're like, what's going on?
Really, you think about it. A whoosh sound, basically, with most mammals, including humans, gets their attention and kind of puts them into fight or flight mode. You know, it's
exactly,
I mean, it's the sound of a rattlesnake. It's the sound of lightning. It's the sound of a, you know, speeding comet. It's the sound of, you know, a dinosaur about to eat you. It's something really innate, and it does get people's attention, and that's why they do it, but it's not an attention.
It's easy access to your brain, which is what they're trying to access that whole time, and so it's a shortcut that they try to get you. Hey, listen, now.
Yeah, and it just seems like a really cheap shortcut to me. I mean, there's three real complaints I have with it. One is the very valid complaint that if anybody has any problem with their hearing, it friggin' hurts their ears, and you're making fun of me like... Oh, poor disabled Michael. He has a disability. Well, you know, a lot of people...
Well, there's a practical angle to that, too, in that if you are one of those people, you're going to turn the radio down.
Yeah. And you're not going to hear the ads, man. The whole reason radio exists, anyone can tell you otherwise, except like us, because we're not making any money yet. But the whole reason radio exists, there are shows that exist like us because people have a message they want to get out, and they would do it for free anyway. And we did it for 2 years for free anyway, not thinking we could ever get on radio. But the reason those transmitters and towers and offices and satellite links exist is to sell ad time. And if you're trying to get people to listen to ads and you're putting something on every 3 minutes that makes people turn the radio down, you're mm-hmm. losing money. That's my first reason.
I got a point on that before you get into the next thing, just to branch off a little bit. It is a tangent, but I thought I had meant to bring this up before, and I don't know if I did. But think of how expensive a TV station is, how expensive a big FM station is in a giant market. And nobody had to build that. You know, people's argument for the roads is it's just so expensive. Nobody would build it. But people build TV stations, giant TV stations, you know, CNN, 24/7 news, all funded by advertising. So when you say exactly. build the roads, think about the roads being built on nothing but ad money. But ad money.
Now, on the other hand, you can buy a 1,000-watt radio station for like under six digits. You know, if there's any fiends out there that have too much money and don't know what to do with it. I looked up some radio station prices recently, and sometimes in a tertiary market, you know, like a city you've heard of, but not a major city, you can buy like a 1,000-watt radio station turnkey, meaning like the license, it's the transmitter, the antenna, and the studio and the office. You can sometimes buy that for like, you know, $50,000-$60,000. So if they're in, and a 1,000-watt radio station can reach like 30 miles, an AM station. So if you want to, and sometimes further, you know, it depends on the topography, and it depends on most AM radio stations have to go to ultra low power at night, but it costs more for ones that are unlimited power where they can go powerful at night, because at night, a 1,000-watt radio station can go like 500 miles and it'll interfere with other stations. But if anybody out there wants to buy a radio station, I'm not selling one, but I can show you where to look for one. If you have the money and want to, drop us an email and I'll do some more research and send you some links. But so let's take a little break and go to the market and then come back and talk more about the whoosh and why it needs to go away. Maybe I'll put some whooshes in here when we come back.
Yeah, there's a YouTube video that's just 20 whoosh sounds.
Okay, I'll find that.
All right. Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's BolaVPN at BolaVPN.net.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker Podcast. I'll teach you the difference between the government and the state, why the government is nothing without the state, and how to dissolve the state while remaining peaceful and even calm. I knew the state was a losing proposition decades before that was cool. Check out the Bad Quaker Podcast at badquaker.com. We have a forum and it's got gardening tips. That's BadQuaker.com.
So we decided we didn't like the noise effects that we found. They weren't really indicative of the swoosh, so we're making one. What are you doing there, Nima?
I'm pulling up Reason, and I'm going to use the NN19 digital sampler, and I'm going to filter in some white noise.
Oh.
Let's see. So just open that, and there's actually a preset in Reason. I don't know if this is what the jingle makers use, but this is one place I know. And just open up the raw elements, click on noise, and then I'll play it. Yeah. And then you can edit the boring parts out. So, got my thing here. I don't have my keyboard attached. If I had my keyboard attached, this would be super quick.
Yeah.
I have to draw the note in.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have the knob on the keyboard, so I can't use it analog.
Rush Limbaugh tells you why you shouldn't take drugs.
And uses drug sound effects
to do it.
Yeah.
I made that.
Yay!
Fuck Obama. I made that.
You made that.
Can you take my delay off now? All right.
No, it helps. All right.
Okay.
Good.
That's the Fiends. We haven't even touched our notes yet. Should we touch our notes?
I used a whoosh in the Freedom Fiends blog ad, but it was in context because a superhero breaks through, Fiend Man breaks through a window and it goes whoosh, and then you hear the window break. So it's the sound effect of the guy breaking through the window to tell you to read the Freedom Fiends blog.
I intentionally used a hyper cliche of radio. The record, the needle pulling across the record, to delineate, okay, this is the old way of doing it. Now, the new way of doing it. It's used for that. It's also used for, in movies when someone walks into a bar, like a black guy walks into an all-white bar or vice versa. Well, it's used in 48 hours.
So when should that stop, though? When should that stop? Because nobody has record needles anymore.
Yeah, and I used it in the Fiends Buttons ad, but I coupled it with a shotgun. And I was kind of... There were two reasons I did that. One was I was kind of shooting the old stupid sound. And the other is we used the scratch on the record because that record is an absolute cut-for-cut parody of another ad that we found kind of boring that used to be on Liberty, on LRN. What was it an ad for? Oh, stickers. They're cool stickers. The sticker guy or whatever. No, what is that company that Scott Horton pimps?
Liberty Stickers.
Yeah. Yeah. The ad for Liberty Stickers has... America the Beautiful playing in the background, instrumental, and it says, you've read books, you've attended lectures, you love the Constitution, but there's still one thing missing. Stickers! And ours says, you've been to lectures, read books, the Constitution is a centrally planned document to create an ever-increasing federal government, but there's still one thing missing. We kind of took it beyond Constitution humping and made it funny, and we're kind of parodying. I like the sticker company, the sticker, what is it called? Liberty Stickers.
Yeah, well, yeah. Scott Horton still does an ad on his show, but it's not that ad. What he does now is all his ads are just him talking pretty much, except for his Fourth Amendment socks or whatever it is, or the silver bill of rights in your pocket when you go through the metal detector. But his Liberty Stickers ad is just him talking. He just says, we got great state hate over here. You need some stickers for the back of your truck. Just talks. Yeah.
Did you see that video of the guy pretending to be from the TSA and he's wearing a suit and he's holding like a movie microphone boom with a microphone with a, dead cat, they call him, the furry windsock on the end of it. And he's walking up to people on the street who are using their cell phones and like reaching in with this pole and sticking it over them. And they're like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm from the government. We're from the TSA. And they're like, well, I didn't tell you you could do that. And he's like, oh, we haven't asked permission for like 20 years. We never asked permission. It's pretty funny, man. And some
was
like
TS, was he supposed to be TSA or NSA?
NSA, okay. Yeah. And some like good old boy kind of redneck types like almost looked like they're going to shoot him. They're like, boy, you better get out of here and stick that microphone up your ass. And I'm like, right on, man.
Yeah, that's funny. But I don't know, man.
They don't really look like they're going to shoot him, and that wouldn't be funny. But it is funny that he tells him to stick it up his ass. I like that.
I mean, the concept's funny, but
yeah.
Here's the thing. Those radio or cell phone communications, they go over the air, you know, to cell phone towers. The government can intercept that. They don't need a windsock and a guy with a microphone.
Oh,
man.
I know. That's it's theater. It's street theater, man. You got to appreciate that. And I mean, someone actually did a demonstration at some hacker convention where they went up on stage with like an old style TV antenna hooked up to a laptop with some little receiver on it. And he made like half the cell phones in the room. Suddenly he had control over them. And he's not the government. He's a guy with a laptop, man. Yeah.
How do you do that?
Basically you spoof a radio cell tower. And the way cell phones work is they connect to the nearest strongest signal.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an interesting thing. You know, they used to use triangulation of records of cell towers to prove somebody was somewhere they said they weren't. And it's used a lot in courts of law. Mm-hmm. But now they're using single points, which you can't really triangulate with. I mean, literally, you can't triangulate. You can't prove someone was at a certain place, but they're doing it with just one tower. It shouldn't be legal, but they're doing it. Another thing that we haven't even touched on was this week, the Supreme Court basically got rid of the Fifth Amendment in a way. Did you hear about that?
I did. They said you had to basically use fancy legalese to describe what exactly how you would be incriminating yourself by talking and how the Fifth Amendment applied. So again,
well, it doesn't. So far, it doesn't apply if you're under arrest. It's for people who are not under arrest. But the basic premise is don't talk to police. We said it before.
Well, I mean, does that include subpoenas? Like if you are subpoenaed and are forced to appear in court?
No, it was basically there was a guy who English was his second language. He was Mexican. He may not have been even an American citizen. He was in Texas. He was a person of interest in a murder. They went to his house and they said, would you mind coming down to the police station and answering some questions? And he's like, see, you know, I don't even know that he knew he could refuse to speak. I don't know if he knew he could ask for an attorney. He just, you know, in Mexico, if the police come to your house, you got to go with them. So it's really a scary ruling. And I mean, I don't know if the Supreme Court was ever on the side of law or justice, but they're completely not now, especially this coupled with there was another ruling about the Fifth Amendment. Wasn't there a few years?
Oh, no, I think okay, go ahead.
You're thinking of a Fourth Amendment thing, but I'm thinking there's a Fifth Amendment thing now of if you say, I don't want to answer my questions without an attorney, and they let you call your attorney, and before your attorney gets there, if they ask you more questions, you have to again say, I'm not speaking without an attorney, or what you say later is covered, even though you already said, I'm not speaking to you without an attorney. And they will do that. They'll be like, hey, you want a soda? Hey, you know, I worked where you work. You know, they'll try to be friends with you or scare you or both or good cop, bad cop or whatever and get you to say anything to get you talking and bonding with them in some way or scared of them.
Although, to me, it's almost like just codifying or codifying, however you want to codify that word. It's just stuff that already exists. According to the Washington Times, the decision basically says that a potential defendant's silence can be used against them during police interviews,
which is ridiculous,
prior to arrest. Well, but they do that anyway, man.
Yeah.
I mean, police anyway, if you're not talking to police, they call you uncooperative to the media. They say, oh, well, they won't cooperate. And then the media makes it sound like you're guilty. You know, or the jury, you know, the prosecutor will tell the jury, you know, he won't talk to us. There might be an objection, but juries buy prosecutors, you know, they buy their lines of reasoning.
The only thing you should say, and I'm not an attorney, but the only thing I would say is I want to talk to an attorney. I think, Nima, next time you have too much caffeine and have about a half hour of free time on your hand or an hour, you should make a rap song that's just, I want to talk to an attorney. I want to talk to an attorney. I ain't talking to you. I want to speak to an attorney. Let me make my phone call. I want to talk to an attorney. I want to talk to an attorney. Seriously, I mean, that could be good,
That'll
man.
Be the whole thing.
That could be the whole thing. It could be kind of like the fisticuffs. Yo, turn it up. Yo, uh-huh. Yeah, turn it up.
Uh-huh.
But it's just, I want to talk to my attorney. Said like 50 different ways. Do it in Spanish a couple times. You know, just do it every way. I think that'd be kind of a little hit on YouTube of just, you know, the best legal advice, you know, if you can. I don't know what you'd call it, but I like that. I want to speak to an attorney. I plead the fifth. The fifth. The fifth. Although the Chappelle kind of already did the fifth. Yeah, but you can put that in there. You can put that in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that would be the hook. The verse would be, I want to speak to an attorney. The hook would be F-I-F, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. So I got a funny little unicorn chaser here. I'm going to have you read this. DJ and I were looking at hotels. I'm not going to say what town it's in, but somewhere we're thinking of taking a vacation at some point. And the hotel reviews were really funny. This one place, we're like, we're not staying there. It was like three reviews, and two of them were pretty bad. They were like, you know, the maid stole our beer from the fridge while we were out. And, you know, there was dirt in the bed, and there were, you know, there was used food. There were half-eaten food containers rotting in the bathroom wastebasket. You know, the kind of place you'd never want to stay. But there was this really one. The third review was hilarious. Go ahead and read it.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that Fred that works there is the coolest person I've ever met in my entire life. When we arrived, I was overcome by an incredible sense of calm and awe. He stood brilliantly behind the desk like some kind of front desk god, light shining, his skin illuminating the room. People had set up a shrine in front of the hotel and were camped out front, watching and waiting for him to do something. Anything. We opted to pay double for the room and spend the night with our heads rested gently in his lap. All in all, 10 out of 10.
I wonder if Fred wrote that. Or maybe it's just some friend of Fred messing with him. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Either way, good for Fred.
DJ was laughing.
You made people chuckle.
Laughing so hard reading that out loud. I haven't heard her laugh that hard in years. I mean, she laughs all the time, but it was like she couldn't stop laughing, and it was the cats ran out of the room. She was laughing so hard. They were scared. Like, what's mommy doing? Ah! It was great.
I think the hardest me and my wife laughed this week was when we're going to bed. Sometimes she'll say, go to Netflix so we can watch Futurama. And I'll like put Netflix.org, or I'll start Googling things in herpaderp language, you know, like, you know, like Ermagerd, Gersprumps, you know, that whole meme. So she typed in nerdflurks.com. I encourage you to try it. You'll get a kick out of it. If I tell you on air, the surprise will be destroyed. I've already
Wait,
said
what
too
do
much.
I type?
Nert, N-E-R-T, flurks, F-L-E-R-X.com.
You type this on Netflix or on Google?
Google.
All right.
Put it in your address bar, nertflurks.com.
Nertflurks.com. Oh, nertflurks.com.
Yeah, like you're saying, Ermagerd, clerp clerps. You don't know what that is, do you? I don't know what that is.
Nertflurks.com comes up with just some hosting site.
Exactly. No, it says Nerdflurks, Herp Derp Mervies. I ruined it. We've ruined it.
It doesn't say that on here. N-E-R-T-F-L-I-R-X.
Oh, we've spent too much time on it. You did it wrong.
No, I didn't.
You're too old.
No, I didn't. Okay, so I just sent you something else that's pretty funny. Somebody who's never contacted us, who obviously was spamming us, who obviously doesn't know how the fiends work and how I like to interact with people, really did not curry my favor. Go ahead and read his whole thing. Read this whole thing with
his
email
address.
Should we
read his name? Yeah. His email address too? Oh, yes, we're the Fiend SA. Trenton Fervor.
Turn that off.
Email.
Hey, hang on, man. So go ahead and read this thing from this guy.
Yeah, yeah. Trenton Fervor. Email trentonfervor@gmail.com. Message. Read and promote. Thanks. And there's a link.
And that's okay. Let's just stop right there. No. You don't curry my favor by saying, hey, dude, do this for me. Thanks. That is not good fiend form, man. This guy is never, ever going to get anything done by me. But I went to his website. I want to read a little bit about how my basic thing is he should be more concerned about obscurity than piracy. But go ahead and read his warning that's on his website.
All right. Is this the warning that you pigeoned me?
The above material
was excerpted and or adapted from the book The Myth of American Democracy, The Defecation.
Deification.
I like it better as the defecation, but okay. The deification of democratic governance and the subversion of individual liberty.
I mean, he sounds like somebody who, you know, is on the same page as us, probably from the title of his book, but he's probably maybe a constitution helper, but I don't know. But
he goes on with a copyright 2013 by Trenton Ferber, an ISBN number available at Amazon.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with an ISBN number, and it's just a way to find books. It's not part of some government system. It's a private thing, actually. My problem is all material on this entire website is subject to the copyright restrictions indicated at the front of the above book. First of all, is that even legally binding to say there's a copyright and it's on this book you have to buy to know the copyright? I don't think that's legal. Second of all, please reference the use of material page on this website to learn about specific additional allowances the author has granted for exception and reproduction of this material, guidelines for use of material on this site. So basically, he's an annoying spammer. He's a hypocrite because he's talking about how the state isn't the answer and then threatening you with copyright violation. Thirdly, he's obviously trying to spread an idea, but he's putting all these restrictions on it, man. If you want to spread an idea, just put it out there and say, share this and send me some money if you want. That's how the fiends work, and it's working out okay.
Let it run free, man. If you're about freedom, be about freedom. Don't be about sending lawyer letters to people and having the state do your bidding.
Yeah.
That's silly. That's hypocritical.
And don't tell the fiends what to do if you want them to do something. Herp-a-derp-a-derp-a-derp. What's herp-a-derp from?
Ask. Herp-a-derp. I don't know, man. It's kind of like a meme-ish thing. I guess it's kind of South Park and it's kind of Irma Gerd Gersprumps. It's just a goofy way of talking.
Mike Makes Right says it.
Who's that?
Mike Makes Right. You don't know who Mike Makes Right is?
I don't know what that is.
He was my old roommate in San Francisco and L.A.
We played in a band,
and he's like more of an anarchist than you or anyone you know, and he's cooler, and he's been that way for about 20 years.
You talking about... Well, can I say his name? I know who you're talking about. I didn't know.
Yeah, him. Mike D. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know him by Mike Makes Right.
Yeah. He doesn't want to be known by his real name in conjunction with this because he's got a job. But I did a couple of interviews with him on the gumbo, which has gone really well. Now, we need to talk about what I'm going to do with the gumbo. I guess I need to have both two lobes of my brain talk about it. But I literally don't have time to do an interview a week with the gumbo now that we're pursuing radio full force. I don't know what to do, man. I don't really want to pod fade because I yell at people who pod fade.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe we should discuss that on the phone.
No, man.
On the radio.
We should bring everyone into it and see what they think.
We'll fiend source it. How's that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Fiends out there, if you got an idea for what we can do with the gumbo time slot, Anarchy Gumbo on LRN, so that it doesn't pod fade and it still exists.
Yeah, because there's two things to consider. One is, you know, I could just have it be a podcast and do an interview every 6 months and have them be great. But also, we're starting to occasionally do interviews on the fiends. We're going to have two great ones this Saturday, both Colorado people, one a gun dude and one a weed dude. But it's also syndicated on LRN. And the way it works on there is if you go more than about 8 days without doing a weekly podcast, it fades and goes to the bottom automatically where it says inactive due to recent inactivity or something like that, which makes sense. You know, you don't want a bunch of stuff just randomly popping up once a year. But I'm not going to get rid of the domain. I've had it for 15 years, kittyfeet.com. And we have the buttons. The buttons are really nice. I want to keep selling the buttons, but it's a nice name, Anarchy Gumbo, and the shrimp is nice. And I paid someone to draw the shrimp. But yeah, man, I don't know. I don't know what to do with it. The fiends can tell us. You know, I've actually gotten a couple emails from people who listen to the gumbo who have never heard of the fiends. So I turn them on to the fiends, but maybe we could just have a big fiends banner at the top of it and then have, you know, for links to the old episodes of gumbo, click here. So it's all about the fiends now, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Fiends forever. Fiends for life.
Fiends dynasty, man.
Yeah.
Nima and his kid and one of his brothers is going to take it over when I die of old age on air.
Yeah.
Let's go to the market, man.
All right.
Need to talk to people in a secure manner? Liberty Private Network sells phones that will work over any good internet connection and give you military-grade encryption for calls that cannot be tapped. Great for lawyers and clients, business people with trade secrets, or just ordinary folk who don't want their love talk spied on by some scumbag from the Central Scrutinizer. Call 516-TLK-SAFE on your non-secure phone and tell them the Freedom Fiends sent you. That's 516-TLK-SAFE.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
So, Roland. Yeah. This is the third of three here in this very different and college radio-esque podcast today. Yeah. We had some show notes. One was some guy asked in the comments. Well, actually, it was a non-42. I always say to you, some guy.
Like posted, it's a different person.
I know.
Because it's a non. But
it,
yeah,
it
that's
doesn't,
just his name.
It doesn't
name
ring as a name in my head. And I just always end up saying some guy. So
that's what the 42 is for. He's a non-42.
Do you think he's 42 or do you think he was born in 42?
Maybe it's his name. Maybe it has nothing to do with anonymous. Maybe like he's from some country where a non is a name.
Ah, okay.
Could be. I doubt it. But
sounds Turkish
to me. You don't know. You don't know what that is.
I don't know. I don't know what that is. Yeah. So he has a question for Nima. How would a Lois Lane-like person who unyieldingly seeks the truth and reports it do it in today's media world?
They'd have to flee the country.
They have to flee the world, man.
There are people out there, man. I mean, there's in print journalism, definitely more so than American TV news. But, I mean, what do you think Glenn Greenwald is? He unyieldingly seeks the truth, and he has to live in Brazil because the United States government won't let his husband or boyfriend or whatever he has come to the States because of immigration laws. Yes, laws against moving.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that the fact that he's Glenn Greenwald and broke the Snowden leak, I'm sure that doesn't help either. You know, there's Eric Margolies who jet sets and travels around the Middle East and brings us some great war journalism of what actually is going on. He actually talks to the people doing the fighting in Arabic and then reports it back. Jim Bovard, who will go into government offices and sometimes sneak documents out of there when the government agency won't give him the the documents. I mean, he unyieldingly seeks the truth. And, you know, I guess you would worry that you would face obscurity, but these are people who get lots of play in, you know, the alternative media. And Glenn Greenwald, he writes for The Guardian, which is a big paper in Britain. I mean, maybe not all Americans know what The Guardian is, but a lot of people read it. It can happen. It can happen. But again, a lot of these guys are older guys who kind of cut their teeth when the environment was a little bit less restrictive. You know, in TV news, I originally wrote I Can Think of None, but then I did remember Ben Swan, who we've played clips of him before, you know, talking about how the FBI had an agent in on the whole thing during the first 9/11, not 9/11, the first World Trade Center bombing. And then, you know, they kind of knew it was going to happen and they flubbed the whole thing and then they never talked about it. You know, it was supposed to be some kind, I don't know if it was supposed to be an entrapment thing, but they had people watching the guys that eventually blew up the basement of the World Trade Center in 1993. So there's guys like,
didn't you
like
say
Ben
Jim
Swan.
Bovard?
Yeah, he was the guy. He walked into our recent video conference, our question and answer session for our Guns and Weed showing.
And Nima got all wet, and I was I'm really glad you knew who he was and knew about him, because somebody in the room when he walked in pointed at him. We were doing a video conference, three-way video conference, and someone pointed at him, you know, I think it was Larkin Rose, pointed at him and said, "Do you know who this is?" And Nima said, "Yeah, it's Jim Bovard." And I was about to say, "I don't know who that is," which is so ignorant. It'd be like on 30 Rock when they have that show within the show. Tracy Jordan's wife has a reality show where she's just loud and obnoxious. Queen of Jordan. Remember that? It shows her.
Oh, yeah.
It shows her cutting her rap album, and she's really horrible. it's like soul rap, and she can't sing and she can't rap. And it shows her in the studio with the headphones on and the big expensive mic, and you know, you hear the engineer from behind the glass going like, "Let's try that again." And she throws her headphones on the ground and says, "Who the fuck are you? I'm whatever, Angie Jordan. Who the fuck are you? Who the fuck have you worked with?" And you hear something. You can't understand it off mic. And then she goes, "Who the fuck are the Beatles? I'm Angie Jordan, damn it."
Yeah. Kind of like that. But so, I don't know. I guess we could take this as a thought experiment. Pretend there is a Lois Lane in today's media. If she's in TV.
I want to see a three-way with her and olive oil. I don't like the skinny girls, but, you know, it'd be kind of fun just from a perverse standpoint.
The scissoring would be interesting, but
dangerous.
I don't know. I guess I feel like the incentive structure, especially in TV and the way the TV career path moves, it works to where girls in TV, they have to spend a lot of time on their image and they have to spend a lot of time schmoozing and getting in good with people in power so they can gain access. They have to be buddy-buddy, and dudes too. You know, this isn't just girls. I guess I'm saying girls.
Now, a good place to go, but I didn't get from this that Anon 42 was asking about women in specific. I got that he was asking about, like, people. I mean, I don't even I don't even remember her other than Superman's girlfriend. Was she, what kind of reporter was she? Was she a hard hitting go after the facts reporter?
I guess, but at the same time, how hard hitting and truth seeking could she be if she had to keep Superman's identity secret?
And work for the Daily Planet, which was, you know, like the New York Times. It's the biggest paper in Metropolis, which is New York. You're not going to, well, you can. I mean, you can. People used to blow important, you know, whistle blow important stories in papers like that. But more and more, they are just, you know, just the mouthpiece for the state.
Right. Well, okay. So any person then, the thing becomes building sources, and the sources that you build, you know, you can find a leaker. But think about the environment now. Are you still there, Michael, or did you cut out?
Oh, I'm still here.
Oh, you just turned down.
I'm just letting you talk, man. I monopolized the first two chunks, and I am just sitting back and getting on autopilot and watching Nima flow, man.
Okay. Well, the thing about today's media environment is you have to think about all of the chilling effect on the leakers. So the journalist who really is unyielding and seeking the truth, they're not going to go to the guy who's the department head or who is the politician, because they're not going to get the truth out of that guy. They're going to have to find somebody who's willing to tell on that person in power. And that seems less and less likely because the state has been so into going after leakers lately. I mean, Snowden did flee the country. You know, he's in Hong Kong now. Bradley Manning is in a prison and he's been tortured. And he might spend 40 years to life in prison. Who knows? And so I guess you'd have a tough go of it. And you don't really get any kudos, I feel like, from news directors, you know, especially in TV, where you have to have content, you know, 2 to 3 stories a day. And you can put them on the back burner and slow cook stuff, but you still have to produce 2 to 3 stories a day. And if you've got a few really hard hitting stories, they might, you know, they might take months and months to develop.
I believe that was an issue with the guys that broke Watergate. Was their paper, their editor wanted them to get back to work because they spent 9 or 10 or 12 or 15 months on that and didn't do anything else in that time. And it's actually, that's kind of, probably that specific story is kind of parodied or referenced in one of my favorite silly popcorn movies, Fletch. Did you ever see Fletch with Chevy Chase? Plays a reporter who's kind of a slacker, drinks a lot, divorced, owes alimony, private detectives chasing him around. He actually stumbles onto this thing that the local chief of police is dealing heroin. And it's a huge story, but his editor doesn't think he has the proof and isn't going to have the story. And he's like ready to fire him because he won't work on anything else. And he finally breaks the story and it's the story of the year. But
Right. But I mean, and that's 4 decades ago?
I mean, something like that.
When those media outlets pretty much had a monopoly on the national discourse and as such had a lot more money. These days, a lot of the old media outlets don't have the money to throw at people. They really can't hire somebody who does nothing but investigative journalism.
No, what they do now is they just let people do it for free on the internet and then break it. Like ABC News did with David Kadria and Mike Vannebaugh, who broke the story of the Fast and Furious. And we're going to interview both of them on the radio show in upcoming weeks. And, you know, I mean, really, what I say, what I saw another example today of how I say that all the mainstream media does now and exists for is to point people to the internet. Cause I saw a 2-minute piece on Fox TV News about Serena Williams's tweets of all things. Like, is that news, man? Jeez.
Well, okay. The other thing about the incentive structure is you have to move up if you want to not starve to death and you want to have a family that you can feed at some point. If you're a professional TV journalist, when you first start working, you're going to be making just barely above minimum wage. And so your incentive is to get on a bigger station and then a bigger station. And the things everybody will tell you, other news directors will tell you, and, you know, what are they called? Agents will tell you this too. You have to be good at storytelling. You want to show good storytelling. You want to show a great appearance, you know, that they're looking for your look. You know, it's literally that superficial. And storytelling isn't about truth. It's about pulling heartstrings. It's about telling a good story. And, you know, this is my big beef with TV news is it often sacrifices accuracy, complete accuracy, for sensationalism because that's what gets ratings. It's not a conspiracy or anything like that, but the things you want to put on your tape is personalizing a story through somebody, which is often somebody's sob story, which is usually somebody did something to me and it's bad. And because of the lack of a lot of thought, and because, you know, the thing about modern media is it has to operate within the paradigm of the average person because you want to get everybody on board with it. It can't be extreme. It can't take a different philosophical branch. It has to be whatever is the common morality, the common worldview of the common man. And so in that common man worldview, the state is the superhero. Or if not the current state, then something that needs to change within the state, some minor tweak around the edges or some new politician. And so that's how the plot line goes. Is somebody has this thing, what is the government doing to fix it? And that's what people view as hard hitting now is well, government, fix this, please. Please fix it now. Fix it, fix it, fix it. And those are the stories you get. And that's what gets you hired on to get to the next market. And you're literally making McDonald's wages at the beginning. So if I mean I
actually,
guess
actually you would make more money moving to North Dakota and working at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Because they
yeah.
start you at like $15 an hour there because they can't hire anyone else because everyone's left McDonald's to go make $200,000 a year in the oil fields.
So I guess if this is a thought experiment and we can make stuff up, if somebody had an unyielding passion for the truth and could hire somebody to be a researcher and had unlimited resources or a rich dad or something like that to where they didn't have to worry about paying their bills, they could not be so concerned with getting to the next market as quick as they can and maybe take more time to where they could spend their days pursuing the real story, filling out FOIA requests, and have somebody else out there going and doing the legwork on the stories that are going to play every day.
But if you had a rich dad, it'd be a lot more fun to buy a radio station and just broadcast the fiends and everything on LRN, almost everything on LRN.
Yeah, exactly.
And have your own show, man. Most of the people we call, a lot of them own the station, are the program director, and do a morning show. So you buy a radio station, you can do a morning show. It's fun.
Right. Well, and here's the other thing. If in this thought experiment, if you wanted somebody who had an unyielding passion for the truth, what they would really try to do, if they were doing it right, is to become the shot caller at the station.
Yeah.
The news director, the program director, the main editor at a newspaper, something like that. Because those are the people that decide what goes in the broadcast, what goes in the newspaper. I kind of think people have this idea in their head that the way journalism works is you go out and do the story and you put it up and you just do that and you just throw it in the thing and it's there. But that's not what happens. The person in charge approves your story first before he even lets you do it. And then once you do it, edits it to their liking. So somebody like a Lois Lane, I don't know if in certain cases, I don't know if she could get past the news director on the stories that were really hard-hitting and truth-telling. I mean, the New York Times didn't want to take Bradley Manning's leaks
now,
at first. He had to give them to WikiLeaks.
Since the show, The Newsroom, is starting back up again soon, and I rather like it, even though they make some technical errors that you pointed out, is it pretty much true in the structure of how that works? I mean, you were never at that level or at that level of a station, but, you know, basically he is the flagship of that station. He's the star of that station, and he's trying to do hard-hitting news, and that's what made him the star. But he's getting a little too hard for the suits, the female suit played by Jane Fonda, and the advertisers, and they're pushing back at him to be like hard-hitting, but not too hard-hitting. Is that accurate, do you think, of how it would work?
I mean, I don't know from personal experience, but I always look at Edward R. Murrow, who was pushed out of his job at CBS because he wanted to pursue corruption in Alcoa, which was an advertiser. And he was the guy who basically invented the format of broadcast journalism on the national stage. A lot of the things you see being used today, they were his idea. You know, so the pretty much the father of the way modern TV broadcast news works was kicked out of his own job for being too hard hitting. So, you know, nobody's immune to that, even back then or now.
Faja,
Austin Powers Faja.
That got stuck in my head and I couldn't get it out. It was like a bad hit song.
It got stuck in my head too. I apologize profusely.
It was funny. No, man, it was funny. It was just I heard it in my head a few days later a few times.
Thing is, somebody who unyieldingly seeks the truth doesn't have to rely on the old media guard anymore. That's why you have people who have their own radio show. You have people that have their own blogs. You have independent journalists who sell their stories to other people, you know, freelance guys. There's tons of those, you know, and they're out there and their stories do get replayed and they break stories that end up getting, you know, like the ABC thing taking the gun runner story from David Cordrea. That kind of stuff happens. So the unyielding truth seekers, you know, they don't have to take the old path anymore. So even though the gatekeepers may be more harsh and there's more of a chilling effect on leakers, there's still opportunity out there. You know, there's still hope, and I think there always will be. And this brings me to another point about media that I had been mulling over for a while is...
Mullah.
Media is really important, and I think media and LibPair would also play a very important role. People love to bash the media and say that they're, you know, such a huge part of the problem, and in a lot of ways they are, but just like business and commerce, it's the state interference that makes it seem so distasteful and so corrupt and makes it actually corrupt. You know, Molyneux was having this debate with this guy about what would happen, you know, in a free society if somebody just got murdered and the person who did the murdering was involved with one of the big security companies. And all the security companies got together and decided, well, let's keep this on the low because the guy who did the murder is the son of the owner of one of us companies and we got to look out for each other. And nobody brought up the fact that there would still be media in a free society. There would still be reporters. There would still be people investigating this that weren't a part of the security team or the insurance companies whose job it was to do the investigating. There would be people whose job it was to do the investigating purely for the fact to tell people what happened, because they're interested in it. And those kinds of things, that's one of the ways that the public gets informed in a free society, and that problems can be solved and disputes can be resolved in a free society is the role of people out there reporting information.
Well, I actually thought of something to do with the power of having a radio show now in Wyoming that I've decided against because it would be an abuse of power. And I was kind of kidding out loud to my wife, but I was kind of like, well, maybe we could do that. The city of Casper is asking property owners to keep yards weed free and like having, you know, taking up a bunch of free ad space in the paper to do it basically. And they do issue citations, which seems ridiculous to me. I think in LibPair, now that is something that affects other people, and this is not something that you really realize till you're a homeowner. You know, when you spend a lot of time on your yard, you know, your little bit of grass in the backyard, your tiny little yard, killing dandelions and stuff. If your neighbors have dandelions they don't take care of, you end up getting dandelions again because you get a lot more dandelion seeds and fluff floating into your yard. So I thought of we could do a weekly Casper dandelion report for a couple minutes where I would just read off the names and addresses of people who are really obnoxious with not dealing with their dandelions and affecting me. So I'm not going to do that because I have ethical standards as a journalist, but it would be fun.
Yeah, I mean, that brings a point. Information is important, and it doesn't violate the non-aggression principle. If something's in public view,
yeah, it's a market,
if you acquire knowledge, yeah, it doesn't violate the non-aggression principle in the slightest. It's when you start doing that that you're immoral and you're wrong. It's when you aggress against somebody, send them a fine, send cops over, send code enforcement over. Those kinds of things are the state. And that's why we're anti-state. It's not because we just hate the government for no reason. I did, yeah.
Is that
You've
intentional?
Been watching Futurama. Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of Futurama, but there's like 12 episodes of it. I can't watch all the ones you and your wife watch the same day. I'm not caught up there yet. I'm on like season 4 or 5.
Okay.
There's some good ones.
Yes, it's the episode where the big brains come to Earth and attack it, and Fry's the only one who can save the world because since he's his own great-great-great-great-great-grandpa, or I guess just grandpa, he's his own grandpa, so he doesn't have a certain brain wave. And so he's the only one who can attack the brains, and the way he attacks the brains is he writes his own book since the brain is taking him through other novels of times past like Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn and things like that. So he writes his own book, but it's a crappy world full of plot holes and spelling errors, as he puts it. And one of the spelling errors is the big brain says, I am winning again, and now I will leave the Earth for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, holy Bingleschmidt. Yeah, that episode where you find out why Fry is his own grandfather is one of my favorites. It's called A Roswell That Ends Well, where you find out, and this isn't really a spoiler because it's Futurama. Come on, man. And it came out like 10 years ago, and you should have seen it by now, and you could still enjoy it. But you find out that the aliens that allegedly crashed at Area 51 were, in fact, the crew of the Starship Futurama Prize.
Express ship.
Yes, and the aliens they found were actually Bender and Zoidberg.
Zoidberg, yes.
But yeah, Bender does it with his grandmother to keep him from disappearing after his grandfather's killed before his father's born. That's awesome.
It is, yes. And Harry Truman is in it because Zoidberg gets in front of a buffet because they want to study his eating habits. And he just goes to town on the buffet. And it's so disgusting that one of the generals goes, call the president. Harry Truman arrives in a plane in a crate that says boiled eggs or something. And he just busts through the crate.
Yeah. You know your eating habits are disgusting when they make a 4-star general have to call the president.
Yeah.
Well, I'm out of thoughts unless you got any more.
No, I think we could end it there.
I think I'm going to call this the college radio episode of the Freedom Fiends because it kind of was like old timey, you know, no rules radio. And it was interesting at points and not so interesting at points and fabulous at points. And Nima did bust out a good feisty rant number one in the last 5 minutes of the show. Finally. We don't guarantee those every day. We try to make them we try to have a quota, but we don't always meet it. But I think we have since we started saying it. So maybe we'll keep that up.
Okay. All right, fiends.
Holy Bingle Schmidt. Blurred. Radio transmissions and crocodiles. Pog. All right, worms.
Hello, Freedom Fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I-O-E and that includes endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Share-alike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. 3 times a week, Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati share their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com. Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarious money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.